Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so if you go to the Montana Talks website, pull up the headline, FBI Hispanic gang expert weighs in on Wolf Point and Bozeman arrests. I included his latest Substack. I just threw it in there this morning so that you can find it all in one place. I included the latest Substack report from Daniel Bruner out of Bozeman, Montana. Dangerous Alliance, how the Sinaloa Cartel and the Hell's Angels are flooding the northern border with deadly fentanyl. Actually, interesting. Well, no, I won't share that story on the air. I had a contact on X who, you know, grew up in northeast Montana, who basically said, yeah, she got into some trouble when she was younger, and it was through some biker gangs, and got into the whole drug dealing thing, and she's turned her whole life around. But it's like, so when I saw that headline, I was like, holy cow, it totally reminded me of this story from somebody who, you know, grew up in northeast Montana and got into some trouble. But let's start to have some fun here with the woke updates of the week. David, you raised a good question while we were talking off air. The word queer. I thought the word queer, you and I both thought, I thought queer was considered like a bad word. Like, don't call somebody queer. Don't use the word queer, because that could be seen as like, oh, you're just negatively attacking that person. I mean, that's like calling somebody the F word or something like that, right? I've always kind of made that same assumption as well. Hey, you wouldn't typically use that word.
I agree. But now you start to see these Democrats using it all the time. You know what's so funny, too, is that, but then if you say homosexual, now that actually has, now they say that's actually the slur now. And I'm just kind of like, wait, how has this gotten all flipped around? Like, that's the woke update in and of itself. The scientific name is now sort of allegedly a slur. But the actual slur is now you can use. It's like, okay, whatever.
That was like Gabriel Iglesias, this hilarious comedian. Fluffy, he's the really big, chubby Mexican comedian. He's hilarious. He'll be at the Metro Park this summer once again. So I hope I can make it to that show. But I think you'd get a kick out of his latest comedy special, because it's basically a woke update. And a lot of his piece, he's talking about, why do they make you say unhoused instead of homeless now? And so
this language stuff. So I was actually curious, is the queer voices section of the HuffPost website, has that been taken down now that USAID got shut down? Because we know that USAID was funneling all these taxpayer dollars to woke causes like the queer voices section of HuffPost. But everybody can calm down. I went to the HuffPo website. The queer voices section is still up. And there's top stories right now is, as Trump attacks the LGBTQ community, queer people are holding tight to these spaces. And first of all, of course, the headline is false. Trump is not attacking the LGBT community. And of course, the story doesn't mention
his Treasury secretary is a gay dude. What's his face? The former NATO ambassador, Rick Grenell is a gay dude. Oh, but Trump's attacking gay people. You people are nuts.
Wait till you hear some of these sentences out of this story. You are going to laugh so hard. Wait.
All right. That's his go-to source for the wackiest woke updates of the week. All right. We'll start there right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some increasing cloudiness across the region through the day today, high temperature readings to boost up into the mid-20s. For tonight, with cloudy skies, snow shower chances building into the Bozeman area. Low temperatures from 15 in Bozeman, near 10 in Billings. Now we'll see areas of light snow on Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
It's February 13th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Tortellini Day, which are made from thin, fine pasta wrapped around delectable fillings of meat, ham, or cheese served with various sauces or soup. In 2017, President Donald Trump accepts the resignation of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn over his dealings with Russia. Actor Harrison Ford, known for Raiders of the Lost Ark and Star Wars, is involved in a near miss while flying a plane in 2017 at John Wayne Airport in Orange County. Also on this day in 2018, an Israeli police report recommends Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu be prosecuted on bribery, fraud, and breach of trust charges. In 1968, the United States sends 10,500 additional troops to Vietnam. U.S. Vice President Spiro Agnew hits two tee shots into the crowd while golfing, injuring two in 1971. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Guy Fieri, how do you pronounce that guy's name? Either way, he says this is Montana's number one restaurant. Where is it? Which restaurant is it? We've got the answer. Go to MontanaTalks.com. I've been there, and man, do they have some really good burgers and fries, too. All right, what else do we got for you? A whole host of stuff. What was the coldest Montana town this week? Plus, this one's interesting. You can look at old Bozeman stuff that isn't there anymore after all the change. MontanaTalks.com. Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, David, I get a kick out of this woke update of the week here because we're like, I thought queer was a bad word. There was a liberal liberal news outfit here in Montana, the Daily Montanan, which is funded by, you know, Hans Wiese and the Democrat Party mega donors, their state networks that they're a part of at the national level. They had this headline, queer drain. There's a queer drain. Did you know that?
Never heard of it.
It's not a plumbing term, so you don't have queer drains in your house.
Oh, like a brain drain.
There is a queer drain being documented in Montana as legislature advances contentious bills. Anyway, which is such an absurd storyline here. Look, just because they're telling you you can't chop body parts off of kids and men shouldn't be in women's bathrooms doesn't mean that this is contentious or anti-LGBTQ or whatever. But, you know, the whole focus of their story is some left-wing nut job professor at the University of Montana who is apparently leaving transgender and is leaving Montana because they doesn't like it here anymore. You know, and it's like, wow, you're such a bigot. You can't even live in Montana anymore because people, you know, have different political opinions than you do. Well, then get the heck out if you're that big of a bigot, right?
Well, and if you're going to freak out about that, and then we get the HuffPo story about nationally about how Trump is now apparently this big, huge problem, too. So where are you going to go? I mean, if you're going to leave Montana, where are you going to go? Because Trump is president of the entire United States. And according to the HuffPo, it says, when it became clear that Trump was going to be president again, a gay man took refuge in his friends. And it says, it felt like an inevitable gut punch, a recurring migraine, but we had each other's back. A week later, we saw Isoman's Hard Candy Cabaret Show, went to a queer bar, danced and drank, then went off to a nightclub and danced a bit more scandalously.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it goes on to talk about how they've been leaning into Dungeons and Dragons, which is apparently a game that's a safe haven for the LGBT community. And it says, they quote the gamer, and they spell it G-A-Y-M-E-R. It says, we're a bunch of gamers who gather every Sunday to play Dungeons and Dragons. The world is spiraling, allegedly. And so they escape into their Dungeons and Dragon chaos. So that's what's going on out there,
folks.
It's
so absurd. Yeah, because men can't take away trophies in sports from women anymore. I'm a victim. I'm being attacked. Oh, no, you aren't. Quit clutching your fake pearls that you stole from your sister. Give me a freaking break.
And when it comes to the LGBTQ, Donald Trump is a New York City liberal on homosexuality and LGBTQ issues. So quit crying about Donald Trump as some, you know, hardcore right winger. He's not. He's a New York City guy. He doesn't have any problem with anybody that's LGBTQ. It's just not true.
Back to this story, the queer drain being documented in Montana. At the University of Montana, apparently there is a senior studying social work is now documenting the queer drain in Montana. My goodness. And then you wonder why you have so much student loan debt and you can't get a real job in the real world because you're documenting, like, absurdities like this.
So what? So, like, what? Like, all these queer people in Montana were totally cool with being here and they loved being in Montana. And then the 2024 election results and now all the queer people are leaving. That makes no sense.
Yeah,
that makes literally no sense at all.
If I can't chop body parts off of kids, I'm leaving.
Well, then
get the hell out of here then. Yeah,
and we had a more Republican legislature in 23 than we do now. And it's like, and if it's like, okay, hold on. So all of these queer people that are allegedly having to leave Montana, you guys came here and you've been here for 5 years, 10 years. You've been here your whole life, and the people of Montana accepted you and treated you with respect and love and kindness all those years. But now you got to leave because we're trying to protect women and girls. I mean, makes no sense.
Yeah, no sense whatsoever. And Zoe Zephyr, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula, I just remember when the governor had his State of the State address, and you had your great Twitch commentary that went with it. Zoe Zephyr sent some self-righteous tweet out about how he wasn't going to attend the State of the State. And I'm like, wow, you are such a bigot. You can't even sit and listen to somebody you disagree with politically, like, you know, who's the governor and who's going to be talking about policies that you're going to be voting on. But you are such a freaking bigot. You can't even sit in the room with him, because I think we need to call them out. They will throw out the bigot card, racist, all day long. They're the bigots. They're the ones who think they're better than everybody else. They think they're better than black people in inner cities. They think they're better than the Native Americans. They think they're better than working class white people. That's why they want to control us all.
No, that's absolutely right. And it's especially the religious bigotry is off the charts with many on the left. And a lot of them will just straight up admit it. They'll tell you, yeah, I think they'll tell you that. I've heard many Democrats say this. I believe that anybody who believes in a God is dumb. You're dumb. If you believe in God, you're dumb. That's stupid. And I'm smarter than you, and you shouldn't have any role, and you have bad judgment. I mean, the Democrats will say that stuff, and I've actually had been on debates with leftist Twitch streamers on Twitch and had them say, yes, I am bigoted against Christians. I hate Christians. They'll tell you that. They'll straight up tell you that.
It's openly tolerated. It's openly promoted. Even some of the liberal media news coverage here in Montana, it's like, wow, you can just attack Christians and Jews all day long or write negative articles about them, but... Oh, there's anti-transgender bills in the legislature.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Tom in Billings just sent us a message. He's retired U.S. Army. If Democrats are so fired up about losing funding for their weird foreign programs at USAID, can't they start GoFundMe accounts? Win-win. American tax money is now available for Americans, and Democrats will see how little backing there is for their weird foreign programs. There you go. And remember when Tim Walz tried to call J.D. Vance weird? That was Tampon Tim for you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Too many people, including some who should know better, describe international trade flows as if they were like plumbing and water pipes. That's not just oversimplifying, it's misleading. And it takes more than a few breaths of air to explain why. One of the most important differences between economic flows between countries and those of liquids and pipes is the different currencies involved. When we buy imports from foreigners, they receive the dollars we pay them, which they can then use to buy the exports we sell. When those flows are not in balance, as the trade deficit of the U.S. demonstrates, that leaves excess dollars in the hands of foreigners. What happens at that point is varied, and it has nothing to do with plumbing. Too many dollars make them cheaper, yielding a weaker dollar. But the most common use of excess dollars is to invest them in American capital. In fact, a trade deficit can only be maintained if the so-called capital account surplus goes with it. It's a beneficial side of trade deficits that few people notice. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The Elon Musk show, when he spoke to reporters for half an hour in the Oval Office next to President Trump, not exactly getting rave reviews from liberals in the media who continue to attack him. Now, why is that? I thought it was good that he took the questions, and I understand legitimate questions also about conflicts of interest that he might have since he's got many major contracts with the federal government. What the people attacking Musk don't understand, and a lot of them are angry because they think he ruined Twitter, is that the more heat that he gets, that takes the heat off President Trump. And the president has made clear that Musk can't do anything without his approval. But there was actually a rally where Elizabeth Warren said, "We're going to fight Elon Musk." And the crowd said, "Yeah." With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, President Donald Trump's administration nominated former Wyoming Game and Fish Director to lead the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Brian Nesvick retired from his post as the Wyoming Game and Fish Director in early 2024 and returned to his ranch near Pinedale. And now, Trump's nomination to lead the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is being applauded by farmers, ranchers, hunters, and outdoor enthusiasts across the nation. Wyoming Stock Growers Executive Director Jim Magegna said Nesvick's nomination is very positive.
So many of the issues out here that we deal with and that impact our industry are related to endangered species, to wildlife management, and to, frankly, to federal interference in our wildlife management. And so having someone back there who understands that the state wildlife agencies are best equipped to manage our wildlife.
Brian Nesvick's career with Wyoming Game and Fish spans some 30 years. Agriculture groups are calling his nomination, coupled with other experts from the region, the rise of the West in Washington, D.C. In other news, ag prices have jumped 250% since 2019 due to bird flu, reduced hen numbers, rising consumer demand, and cage-free mandates. So far this year, the national average is $4.15 a dozen, with a higher price expected later this year. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, we got a great guest. You know, it's rare that we will schedule a guest here in the 7 o'clock hour because, of course, our great friend David Noble is with us here every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour. But if we got a big guest and it's a great opportunity and this is the only time slot, we're going to take advantage of it. And thankfully, David Noble came in earlier here this morning so that we could get an early start on the woke updates and more. But great to have Montana Senator Steve Daines now with us on the phone lines from Capitol Hill. Senator, great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, glad to join you, Aaron.
Well, there's so much we can talk about, so much we need to talk about, including the latest update on President Trump's nominees. But first, I wanted to start with the return of American Mark Fogle back home. President Trump delivering on this. I know you were a big voice and you were relentless in pleading his case. He's got a sister in Missoula, Montana. And wasn't that just incredible, seeing Mark Fogle and how happy he was to be back home on American soil?
Well, what a joyful moment. And you're right, Aaron. My role here was connection to his sister and in Missoula. They've got a ranch there in southwest and western Montana. But the bottom line is President Trump did in 3 weeks what Biden couldn't do in 4 years. We've been calling for his release for years. Mark Fogle was a teacher in Moscow, Russia, to students who were sons and daughters of diplomats and other Americans working in Moscow. And he was wrongfully detained. I can tell you, trying to work with Secretary Blinken under the Biden administration was banging your head against the wall. And look, you have an election, President Trump's in the Oval Office, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Steve Witkoff, who is one of Trump's closest friends, they, behind the scenes, get this deal done, and Mark Fogle's back on American soil, and what a joyful reunion for Mark and his family.
Yeah, so huge. I mean, it was kind of, even just listening to the news updates was pretty emotional, just to try to comprehend and try to imagine what he had been through in Russian captivity these past few years. And he got passed up for Brittany Griner to be returned instead. And anyway, the latest when it comes to the confirmations, everybody's wondering about Kash Patel. We can't get Kash Patel confirmed as FBI director soon enough, especially given all of the blinking lights, the security threats that are facing this country, both internally and externally.
Well, no doubt about it. And Kash is going to get through. The Democrats were able, with a procedural move on the Judiciary Committee, to delay that by 1 week. But that's going to move forward. And the good news, Aaron, is we're batting 1,000 here in supporting President Trump's nominee, getting him actually confirmed and sworn in. We are far, far ahead of anywhere we've been with the presidents in the past decade of getting cabinet nominees through and sworn in, well ahead, 2 to 3 times better than we've had in the past. Of course, you saw Tulsi Gabbard got her confirmation done yesterday, and we're doing RFK Jr. here this morning. We'll be doing Kelly Loeffler at SBA, as well as Brooks Rollins, the new Secretary of Agriculture. We'll set those votes up this afternoon so that we'll confirm early next week. You've got to these time requirements of the Senate, these archaic rules that we have to abide by. But the bottom line is, what we're doing is we're locking arms as Republicans, unified, and saying, look, we can do this the hard way or the easy way, and we're not blinking, and we're forcing the Democrats. I mean, literally last night they were up all night screaming and so forth and shouting while the Senate clock is ticking, which needs to do to get these nominees through as quickly as possible. But Kash will be moving forward here next week, and just really proud of the team sticking together, getting these nominees across the finish line. By the way, I got to say this too. It is so nice when I go down to the Senate floor that my other senator from Montana votes the same way that I do. I will tell you, I lived for many, many years. I was canceled. John Tester and I canceled each other's votes. And again, that's not a personal attack against John. John and I got along great as two Montanans. We just voted very differently. And I guarantee you, John Tester will be voting against every one of these nominees. It's so nice to have the new junior senator from Montana, Tim Sheehy, and I going down thumbs up for President Trump.
And you talk about Junior, he's not even 40 years old yet. And Pete Hegseth is, I think, the same age as me. So, you know, I feel like I'm old some days, but then I get reminded, Aaron, you're not old yet. And so I think this youth and this vibrance and this energy of Senator Tim Sheehy, fellow veterans like, and Pete Hegseth, he's already making the military great again.
Yes, you see that we've, and I'm sure you've reported on the show, we had a record recruiting number in December with the Army. And this just shows you, leadership matters. You get a leader, a commander-in-chief in President Trump that says, we're going to go after this nonsense DEI woke stuff and get back to the fundamental mission of the U.S. military to be the most fierce fighting force in the world. And suddenly, guess what? Those fierce warriors want to join that type of organization. And in tell you what's going on here in Washington, every day, every hour, there's something that's breaking news that President Trump and his team are doing. I mean, the news will be breaking here, probably what he's brokering, some kind of peace deal right now between Zelensky and Putin to solve the Ukraine conflict, what he's doing in Israel, the no-nonsense saying Hamas either released those hostages or all hell's going to break loose. It reminds me of those Reagan days when he became president, peace through strength. The entire world order is shifting because of the strength of America again and because of President Trump.
Yeah, I saw former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich said that Trump could be the most consequential president since Lincoln, especially for taking the sledgehammer to the establishment right now, Elon Musk and what he's doing with Doge, $1 billion a day that they're looking to cut right now. It's remarkable to see. What's the latest with spending discussions? One big, beautiful bill? Is that what you're still looking at? And what kind of opportunity do we have there to peel back some of the Biden year spending as well?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was on Squawk Box this morning. We broke some news because the senators, the Republicans on this side of the Capitol, the Senate side, want to make sure these tax cuts of President Trump are made permanent. The worst thing we could do is to extend President Trump's tax cuts from 17 for a short period of time. They need to be made permanent. The uncertainty that Congress puts on top of businesses and the American people by not knowing whether or not taxes are going to go up or down in an out year cannot happen. And so we put down a strong marker yesterday that said we will not vote for any temporary type of relief on these taxes. It needs to be permanent. The American people face a $4.3 trillion tax increase in 2026 unless Congress acts. It's time to make them permanent. But we need to have the same passion for spending cuts as we do for holding these tax rates.
That's right.
And so that's the good news right now between what Elon Musk is doing and between what we're looking right now at uncovering every rock to find additional spending reductions that Congress can move forward with so we can keep taxes low. But importantly, you've got to continue to cut spending.
We got to hit our hard break here at 35 after, so in a little over 2 minutes here. What, Senator Steve Daines joining us live from the Hill. What about the vindictiveness of the Senate Democrats? Really, RFK Jr., A. Kennedy, Tulsi Gabbard, I didn't always agree with her politics, but I still respected her as a fellow combat veteran. Not one Democrat can vote for her. Did one even vote for her? I mean, just straight up vindictiveness from these guys.
No. You watch what's going to happen here in some of these other votes. Folks like Brooke Rollins, the Secretary of Agriculture, who came out of the Ag Committee unanimous. The Democrats now are just bitter and angry. And remember the resist movement from 2017 when President Trump first took office? Look, that's back in force again. The temperature is going to continue to go up, Aaron, as President Trump is starting to really cut into the deep state, the swamp here in Washington. And consequently, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So you're going to see increasingly more protesting, angry fits from the Democrats, and a lot of protest votes on the floor of the Senate. They're doing all they can to delay President Trump's nominees from getting confirmed. We're standing firm and making sure these great new leaders that are here to shake things up are getting through the Senate as quickly as possible and taking an oath of office and getting to work.
All right, less than a minute to go before our hard break here. Senator Steve Daines, anything else you want to share with folks across Montana? Or what's a big story that isn't being talked about?
Well, I tell you, I think President Trump is moving with such velocity that sometimes you forget what a major news story yesterday suddenly gets superseded by another major news story today. Just go back to the southern border, Aaron. I mean, Trump acted fast with the threats of tariffs there against Mexico. Suddenly, Mexico straightens up. They move 10,000 troops to the southern border. The work of Kristi Noem, the work of our Border Patrol agents, they are now seeing dramatic reductions on the southern border. That's not being talked about a whole lot, Aaron, is the results we're seeing suddenly. We can put our heads on our pillows at night knowing that President Trump is restoring security to the southern border. The fact they got the cartels on notice on the fentanyl piece by declaring that they are terrorist organizations gives President Trump a lot of options in terms of intelligence.
Finally,
and
right?
Military.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like that Elvis Presley song, Return to Sender. Senator Daines, great to have you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, you know I got to play this song now. Yeah, so I heard it on Fox and Friends earlier this morning. One of the operations where they're going after these Trende Aragua, Venezuelan illegal alien prison gang members down in Aurora, Colorado. No joke, the operation is called Return to Sender.
Bright and early next morning, it came right back to me.
She rolled up on a return.
You got to do the Trump dance, David.
Oh, yeah.
Got to do the Trump dance with that one. Yeah, return to sender. That's what they're doing. Tom Homan is returning to sender all these criminal illegal aliens, and the president of Colombia had to use his own presidential plane in order to get the return to sender. It's beautiful, isn't it? Tom Homan, everything he's doing, so beautiful right now. So beautiful.
Oh, yeah, no, and that Babylon Bee with the top 10 most attractive members of the Trump administration, and all 10 of them were Tom Homan.
Yeah, you and I were thinking the same thing when I just did that update with Senator Steve Daines. We were talking about, you know, Tom Homan and the border, and we were so short on time, I wanted to be like, isn't it beautiful, this work that Tom Homan is doing? Because, yeah, the Babylon Bee, They put out a list. Let me see. I want to try to read it of exactly how they said it, because I can't say it better than the Babylon Bee said it. But they put out a list of like something like the top 10 most beautiful or the top 10 most good-looking members. Here we go. The Babylon Bee ranks the top 10 most attractive people in Trump's cabinet. And you click number 10, Tom Homan. Number 9, Tom Homan. And they're different pictures of Tom Homan.
And different descriptions about how good looking he is.
Because at first, you know, the feature photo, you know, it's got Kristi Noem, Tulsi Gabbard, and Tom Homan. But then you click it, all 10 of the most attractive people in Trump's cabinet, Tom Homan.
Yeah, and I responded to your tweet, and I said, in all seriousness, I mean, I'm really impressed with everybody in Trump's nominees, and I know Tom Homan's not technically in the cabinet, but he is a Trump appointee. He is going down as kind of my favorite Trump administration official so far, just because he's so genuine, he's so authentic, he's doing this for the right reasons. He's out there literally trying to save lives and protect kids and everything like that. You know, I saw Lindsey Graham on TV recently saying he doesn't like the one big beautiful bill. He wants to do two bills because he says we've got missing children right now. We've got all kinds of horrible things going on. We've got ICE that needs more money. And so you got to. And so Lindsey Graham's point was, hey, let's pass through a bill ASAP and give Trump and ICE and Tom Homan a couple $100 billion to finish the job and to fully fund the Trump's deportation efforts all the way through the full 4 years of the administration. And it's a pretty compelling argument because it's like, yeah, I'd love to see a couple $100 billion, you know, go out to Tom Homan right now. But, you know, at the same time, because we don't really have a lot of time to wait around for this one big beautiful. But I don't know how long it's going to take to get the one big beautiful bill going through. I really appreciated, you know, Senator Daines saying how important it is to get these Trump tax cuts made permanent. That's a direct financial impact on 85% plus of all Montanans, if not more. And so that's something that is a direct impact on your pocketbook. If the Senate doesn't do what Senator Daines is pushing, all of us will have our taxes go up. So that to me is one of the most important issues, because I can't afford to pay more taxes, and I don't know if anybody else can.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's huge. It's huge for our farmers and ranchers, too, with the estate tax, with the death tax, because, yeah, there's a sunset provision. Those Trump tax cuts will go away. That death tax will go back into effect unless something is done. I think it's a big reason why – another big reason why Republicans won so big here in Montana last November as well. And so – but, yeah, not only reauthorize the Trump tax cuts, make them permanent. Because we just settle this thing once and for all, because we don't know what might happen in 8, 10 years from now, and the Democrats potentially retake control and they pretend to be more moderate again and lie to the American people, and then they seize power, and then boom, you know exactly what they would do there. I asked Senator Steve Daines about the vindictiveness of these Senate Democrats. And it's like, really, not one of you can vote for a Kennedy. Not one of you can vote for Tulsi Gabbard. Elizabeth Warren, she said this on X yesterday, RFK Jr. is disqualified, dangerous. Actually, I should use my Elizabeth Warren voice here. RFK is disqualified. No, I won't do that. Dangerous and cannot. Have you heard her screeching, screaming? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, she says, I'm headed to the floor to put up a fight against his nomination. Stephen Chung, who is an assistant to President Trump on his communications team, he said, uh-oh, Pocahontas is putting her war paint on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hilarious. Every time they bring that story, every time Elizabeth Warren tries to do anything, Trump and Trump's teams brings that story up, because Elizabeth Warren stole opportunities for other Native Americans by claiming to be a Native American. Now, of course, that's affirmative action. Thankfully, that's going away, right? So now, going forward, because of President Trump, now people like Elizabeth Warren won't be able to get ahead in life by lying about being Native American. Won't that be a great thing? No longer, because that's what she did. She used DEI affirmative action programs, pretended to be a Native American to get ahead in life, to take opportunities away from other Native Americans. And it's like, yeah, I would bring that up every time, too, because that destroys her credibility. What kind of credibility does she have after that type of a thing happens, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, man, I've been throwing a bunch of stuff your direction. What else do you want to talk about, David? Or you want me to just throw a few more things your way?
I mean, I kind of been paying attention a little bit to the what's going on in the Montana legislature. And I saw, and of course, I've been paying attention to the mainstream media. And I would just encourage folks to go to MontanaTalks.com instead of going to any lead newspaper website or TV news station website. Because you go to those stories. I read one by Carly Graf, I think, and it was just full of bias. And it only presented one side of the story, didn't present any other kind of arguments. So if you're interested in following the legislature, I would focus more on MontanaTalks.com than any of these.
Yeah, or follow David on X, follow the John Jackson on X. Go to the House Republicans, Senate Republicans have their own X accounts, and they even have a Majority Report podcast that they're doing. Just go get the info straight from the source, or check in with your local Republican Central Committee, because they're oftentimes pumping out some good information as well. Yeah, I get emails from our friends in Carbon County and Red Lodge and elsewhere all across the state. So some very informative stuff. It's not just the Democrats, though. Right on, John and Bozeman sent us a message earlier this morning. Mitch McConnell is crying really hard that he was fired for doing a crappy job for the Republicans and is voting against top quality people Donald J. Trump requested to fill top positions in our government. He really needs to be called out and bow out gracefully instead of dragging himself farther into the nasty gutter abyss, ruining any good he ever did under power. I totally agree with right on John there. You know, it's like even Tom Brady realized, like, hey, maybe I should retire while I'm still on top. And he's still a young guy. And it's like Mitch McConnell, like, you did some good when you were in leadership in the past, but what
he got through a lot of Trump judicial nominees during the first term.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but why would you go out the way he's going out with this sort of really revengeful stuff, trying to take revenge against Trump and other Republicans and not doing what's best for the country? You're really disappointing to see.
Yeah, I mean, if you were his family members, you'd be like, "Hey, what are you doing?" But I also wonder with Mitch McConnell if he has somebody running him, if he's really, I mean, because you look, I mean, he's obviously got severe health problems. He's been freezing up. They had to wheel him out of the Senate the other day. So I'll bet he's got some people on his staff that are running him in the wrong direction.
Oh, for sure.
Because I don't even know if Mitch McConnell is all there anymore.
Frankly. No, I mean, that's the worst part.
I'm not being mean. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, we spent how long did we spend criticizing Joe Biden and criticizing the Democrats for covering up his mental incompetence? And so are we not going to do the same thing as the Democrats just did? No, we're going to be honest and we're going to call out Mitch McConnell's mental incompetence the same way we did it to Joe Biden. There's nothing wrong with that. When you've got we've got senators and presidents that are not there mentally, and these are our leaders and controlling our federal, that's absolutely right to call that out.
All right. I'm glad David Noble is here heating things up for us here this morning on Montana Talks, because I know some of you, it's cold outside, but it's probably cold inside too, because you've got some old windows and you can feel the cold air coming through the windows. Well, let me tell you about an unbeatable deal. YHIC, your home improvement company. You can get 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, they've got easy financing right now. No money down, no interest, and no payments until 2026. So then you can wait for the good effects of Trump's economic changes to really start kicking in, right? Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. It's a limited time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows. Call 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. Back with David Noble right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 15 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Fox News commentary.
SecDef Hegseth will no longer allow your tax dollars to go towards gender-affirming delusions for trans military members. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
There are a lot of careers, professions, and areas of life where social experiments are fine, like the local coffee shop, the theater department, or the nightclub. But the military is not one of those areas. And now, our Defense Department, under the leadership of Pete Hegseth, will reflect that. This week, our Secretary of Defense ordered an immediate pause on what the left likes to call gender-affirming care, but is really the medical or therapeutic bandage for gender dysfunction for all active duty service members. The United States military exists to protect American interests, not pay for the end result of an identity crisis. If eyesight, asthma, or, you know, the refusal of the COVID vaccine are impediments to one's military service, perhaps questioning your biology to the point you require care should also be on that list. So we're back to war fighting, and we're back to common sense. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some increasing cloudiness across the region through the day today, high temperature readings a boost up into the mid-20s. For tonight, with cloudy skies, snow shower chances building into the Bozeman area. Low temperatures from 15 in Bozeman, near 10 in Billings. Then we'll see areas of light snow on Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.
Sunday at 10 on News Talk KBUL 970 AM and 103.3 FM.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, what do you think, David? You want to talk tax policy in the Montana legislature? So I got a chance to catch up with Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage yesterday. And I like his approach, too. I like the governor's approach. I like his approach. I don't really like the Senate approach that Billings State Senator Mike Yakovich is doing. To me, it's too much class warfare. That's what the Democrats do. Look, if you reduce taxes across the board, that's what the governor is working to do. The governor is proposing to reduce taxes across the board. They did it in the 21 session. They did it in the 23 session. We get to keep more of our money because it's our money, not their money after all. We get to keep more of our money. And then, boom, the state got more revenue. So the governor wants to reduce taxes across the board. I totally agree. But I also appreciate the approach. Speaker of the House Brandon Lear is basically saying, well, we will reduce taxes across the board, but they're also going to adjust who falls under which tax brackets. Right now, almost all of us fall under the upper tax bracket because it's so low. If you make 20-something thousand a year, you pay the highest tax bracket. And so if you lower the highest tax bracket, you basically lower practically everybody's taxes. So, but what he wants to do is take the lowest income tax bracket and now apply that up to anybody making, say, $100,000 a year. So now you effectively put almost everybody into the lowest income tax bracket, but he still also wants to lower the tax bracket for the upper bracket as well. I like that approach. I still think that the best approach, though, is just reducing it across the board because, look, if somebody makes a lot of money, they're still going to be paying more in taxes because it's a percentage.
Well, you know what the Bible says about tithing? It says, hey, if you're poor, give 10% of what you make. You know what it says about if you're rich? Give 10% of what you make. That's in the Old Testament. People sometimes don't necessarily take that as a New Testament type of thing. But hey, if it's good enough for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's good enough for me. 10% for everybody.
Yeah, and then what does Jesus say in the New Testament? You know, it's almost like he goes even further to say, basically, give what your heart so desires. So all you people who like to virtue signal and tell us how much you care, well, give as much as your heart desires.
Yeah.
No, it would be. Don't force everybody else to do it because compelled charity is not real charity.
No, it's not. And we've talked about how I've talked to you privately about my own personal opinions about how I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that their personal obligations, either religiously or spiritually or morally or ethically, a lot of Democrats think that they fulfill their personal obligation to help their fellow neighbors or low income or poor people by voting Democrat or by voting for high taxes on the rich or by voting for welfare programs. Never mind the fact that those programs actually hurt the people they're designed to help.
That's right.
But that whole idea of, no, actually, charity and helping people and taking care of your neighbors, that's an individual obligation, in my opinion, that we have religiously, morally, ethically, spiritually, that cannot be fulfilled by supporting socialism or communism. That can be fulfilled by your individual acts, donating your money to charity. So here's a little what I would like to see, Aaron, with tax policy at the state level. And by the way, love the homestead
property tax relief
thing, because I would venture to guess the vast majority of our listeners who pay property taxes have a homestead exemption, because that's basically, if you own a house and you live in it, that's your homestead. Lowering that tax rate, awesome. Lowering the income tax rates, awesome. But can we please lower these taxes enough so that when we are going into the 2027 legislative session, we don't have another $3 billion, $2 billion, whatever dollars that the state took from us that they shouldn't have? Can we get these taxes lowered so that we don't end up with these massive, massive blowouts? Because that money should be in our pockets. It shouldn't except be in a surplus at the state.
Except for the problem is every time they cut taxes, they get more revenue because it helps the economy.
Hey, it's called the Laffer Curve.
Which is why we need a Doge for Montana, because the problem isn't tax cuts. The problem is always spending. So I'm sure there's some spending that can be cut to give an even bigger property tax reduction down the road, right? David Noble, always great to see you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Too many people, including some who should know better, describe international trade flows as if they were like plumbing and water pipes. That's not just oversimplifying, it's misleading, and it takes more than a few breaths of air to explain why. One of the most important differences between economic flows between countries and those of liquids and pipes is the different currencies involved. When we buy imports from foreigners, they receive the dollars we pay them, which they can then use to buy the exports we sell. When those flows are not in balance, as the trade deficit of the U.S. demonstrates, that leaves excess dollars in the hands of foreigners. What happens at that point is varied, and it has nothing to do with plumbing. Too many dollars make them cheaper, yielding a weaker dollar. But the most common use of excess dollars is to invest them in American capital. In fact, a trade deficit can only be maintained if the so-called capital account surplus goes with it. It's a beneficial side of trade deficits that few people notice. I'm Patrick Bart.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
KBUL.